Go to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all you do for us. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful specials. Lord, the words to those specials, that the Lord grew the tree. Lord, that we do need him every hour. Lord, we ask this morning that you look into each heart and mind that is here, take it off of the world and the problems and put it all on you. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that before they leave here, that Lord, they would get that right with you and get that settled. Lord, if there's hearts that, Lord, work in the hearts of each one here, and Lord, get them back on the right tracks. Lord, we pray today that the altar would be full. Lord, that today, that Lord, we would need room to speak with the ones about salvation. Lord, I just ask that you would convict in this service. Ask, Lord, that you would hide me behind that cross. It's nothing about me. It's all about Jesus. In his name, amen. You may be seated. Go to Genesis, if you would. The book of Genesis, chapter 26. While you're getting there, we read about whales. Whales were sometimes used for a special blessing. We're going to read about some today. Genesis 26, verse 1 says, then again Abraham, 26, not 25. See, you guys messed me up. No, it wasn't you, it was me. Chapter 26, verse 1, it says, and there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now, Isaac, here is who we're talking about. His father Abraham had been in a famine in that land before, and we all know what he did. He went down to Egypt. He didn't ask God about it. He just thought, you know what? I'm going to Egypt. There's food in Egypt. That's why God told Isaac here, he says, don't go down to Egypt. See, there's problems in Egypt. That's down in the world. Anytime you read about Egypt in the Bible, it's always you go down to Egypt. What do we go down to get to Las Vegas, don't we? There's problems in the world. So Isaac was blessed by God. But why? It says in verse 5 that he is blessed by God because that Abraham obeyed his voice. Basically, God said, because of your father, because of what he did, because of he obeyed me, I'm blessing you. Now back up to chapter 22 real quick. Verse 12 of chapter 22. Well, let me give you a little bit of background. God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, take Isaac and go offer him as a sacrifice. Okay? So he loads up Isaac. By the way, he didn't put him in his arms or in a little knapsack. Isaac was full grown. He wasn't no little bitty kid. So he took Isaac and they headed out and they're going to do this sacrifice. Well, guess who the sacrifice is? Isaac. God said, Abraham, you go sacrifice the son, your only son. The one you've been waiting on all these years. The one that the promises is going to be kept through the covenant that I've given you. You take him and you go offer him for a sacrifice. Now, verse 12. It says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. You see, he tied him up. He laid him on the altar there that he had built. And he took a knife and he was fixing to do the job. The whole point is Abraham was obeying God. God had said, you go do this. I don't read anywhere in there where he complained. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket. Now, the Lord provided, but the whole point of that story right there is one thing. Abraham obeyed God. Isaac was blessed because of that. You go and read over in 26, 13 through 14, you'll find out that Isaac prospered in this land where he was at. Because God says, hey, Isaac, don't go down to Egypt. Okay. But now you'll actually find out he copied his dad. He lied, which about got him in a lot of trouble. But he obeyed God. He didn't take off and go down to Egypt. Not only that, he's blessed because of what Abraham did. And then you'll find something. Let's look at verse 13 of 26. It says, and the man waxed great, and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Listen, they didn't like Abraham either. For all the wells which his father's servant had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Now look at verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. Now, Isaac was smart. Instead of going out and searching for new places to dig a well, you take a stick, got a forked stick, and you go wandering around out there, and all of a sudden, there it is. Now, I don't know if it really works with a willow stick, but I will stand here and tell you of a truth. You get them little rods, I think they're brass.
Divining rod.
Huh?
Divining rod.
Yeah. You get them rods, I'm going to tell you something, they work. When I was looking for water in Lamar, Colorado, it's out there in the middle of nowhere. If you ever go there, you'll think that you've been lied to, that there ain't a mountain in Colorado, because you can't see them from there. It looks like Kansas. You can take them little sticks and you can walk along, and when you cross the water, they'll go, and you better stop and you dig. That's where the water is. Listen, we found water. And I dug. It was an inch and a half PVC pipe. We found the water, all right. Listen, instead of him going out there and searching for this, what did he do? It said he went and dug again the wells that his father had dug. He said, digged again. See, I can use that. He was Southern, no doubt. He does. He says that. He said, and Isaac digged again. See, I knew I was right all these years. He digged again the wells that Abraham had dug. Why? Because, listen, they were good enough for Abraham. Shouldn't it be good enough for Isaac? They were good wells. What did it say? The Philistines had filled them in. It didn't say they run dry. It said they had been filled in from the Philistines after Abraham died. You see, the Philistines didn't like Abraham. Listen, I'm going to tell you a secret. And I know this is going to be deep and hard to understand. But the Philistines out here don't like Christians. They don't. None of them do. They don't like it that we come to church on Sunday. They don't like it that you stick up for the Bible. They don't like it that you pray to Jesus Christ. They don't like that. So what are they doing? They're filling up the well. Now, how do we apply this today? That's a good question. Anytime you read the Word of God, think about how it applies to you. Friend of mine on the Facebook, a guy named Greg Locke, he's kind of a wild guy, but anyway, he says, 5 W's, who, what, when, where, why. When you read Scripture, figure out who, what, when, where, and why. It'll tell you a whole lot. Sometimes you read in there, you know, Judas went out and hung himself, go do thou likewise. You need to look at it and say, wait a minute, don't just grab Scripture and you dislike it. No, 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 no. Don't take it out of context. Who, what, when, where, why? See what's going on. So let's look a little bit deeper into things. Let's go a little bit of history. Why has the USA been blessed? Think about that. Why have they been blessed? I'm going to tell you. Our forefathers built on godly principles. You see, Abraham built that area where he was at. Abraham raised his children on godly principles. And the wells got filled in. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. And by the way, George Washington stated that, and he was reading a King James Bible. He wasn't reading the NIV. I better hush. Let me tell you something else. God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. I am a real Christian. That is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus Christ, Thomas Jefferson. I believe in God, the Creator, the universe, that He governs it by His providence, that He ought to be worshipped. Ben Franklin. John Quincy Adams, if I remember right, I think he was the 6th president. I was supposed to write that down because I can't remember back that far. I got an excellent memory. It just don't last that long. In the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior. The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. Oh, let me see. I got a couple more. Patrick Henry. He's a good old guy. He quoted, "Righteousness alone can exalt America as a nation. Whoever thou art, remember this, and in thy sphere practice virtue thyself and encourage it in others." We have just about the opposite of that. Charles Thompson, Secretary of the Continental Congress, he said, "I am a Christian. I believe only in the Scriptures and in Jesus Christ, my Savior." Noah Webster, He was a revolutionary soldier. He was a judge. He was a legislator, educator. They kind of pinned on him schoolmaster to America. He wrote, "The Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government..." Let me go back. "The most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed," not core common idiot math, not English, not history, not all of it, but this is what he's saying. "The first thing that they should be instructed on: no truth is more evident than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people." Ask why we're blessed. I'm going to tell you why we're blessed if you ain't figured it out. Because we were built on godly principles by godly men and women who took a stand for God. And that's why we're living up today. But guess what? The wells of Christianity have been filled up with sand. They buried all of that water like they did Abraham. They got rid of all that water so it couldn't be used. We need to redig those. We need to get something together. How do we apply this message again today? We need to dig again the wells of Christianity of Jesus Christ, the truth. These wells have been filled in by what? False teachers. You go over and read in 2 Peter chapter 2, you'll find out that they crept in among us. That means some come out of churches. They left the church. It says in there, they're wells without water. What good's a well without a water? Nothing. It's good to be filled in. That's what they are, these false teachers. But they come in and they teach all this stuff. They brought in false Bibles. Amen. They did. They brought in these Bibles and they said, "Oh, this here's the real Bible. This is the one we need. But it's got stuff left out of it." I don't get that. I don't understand that. Listen, this was good enough for my grandmother. It's good enough for me. I got an uncle that had about a third grade education, but he could read the Bible, and it wasn't in today's English, so we could understand it. Bless your heart. Good grief, if you can't figure out what thou, thee, and ye, and, you know, go down south for a little while. We're smarter than that. We know what y'all is. That means everybody. You know, Colorado said, "You guys." Well, my wife ain't a guy. That's what I use all the time. I've spent too many years there. It wore off on me. But listen, they've been public teachers. You know what they do? They tell children, "We got some in this congregation. Don't bring your Bible to school. But I promise you, you can bring a dad-blamed Quran to school." And they won't say a word about it. "But you bring a holy Bible to school, and they'll have a fit and send them home." Am I right, Philip? The public teachers, they teach them all of this mess. Listen, we need to dig again the wells of Christianity. We got people sitting around with their head in the sand like an ostrich, pretending everything's okay. Well, we're blessed. They ain't going to last long. We got to get off of it, and we got to take a stand. They lie to your children. TV and entertainment. What's that do? Fills their minds with corruptness. What was once evil, now good. And what's good, now evil. Isaiah 5:20. You can go read that if you want to. It's okay to live a sinful life. That's what they tell us out there. Sin. Oh, we don't want to talk about sin. We need to change that word sin. You know, it... So they did. They changed it to alternative lifestyle. They changed it to Well, women have their choice. It's their body. Bless their heart. I can't say what I was about to say. They need to be careful before they make decisions and don't go abort it. There's people out here that take them little babies. Don't go commit murder. And if you're going to commit murder, well, stay at home and leave the boyfriend at his house. It's disgusting. But hey, we've changed that word sin to all these little bitty things. You know, sin. We must get back to teaching biblical doctrines at home and in the church. See, too many churches have gotten too relaxed. They don't want to teach about sin because it thins out pocketbooks. It does. That's what bothers them. We don't want to push the issue of sin at home because, well, it upsets people. They take the blood out because, well, that upsets little Johnny. Well, little Johnny's going to bust hell wide open if it ain't for the blood of Jesus Christ, and he don't accept it by faith and trust. That's exactly right. But, you can't preach that kind of stuff. That upsets people. Listen, we've got to get back to teaching what sin is. What is sin? It's lies. I ain't worried about whether you're going out and doing this or that. Listen, we know what sin is. Ain't nobody got to tell me. Nobody has to tell you when it's a sin. You know it's a sin. That little voice that comes in there and you run it through your mind and you say, oh, you know, I ought not to do that. That ain't just because you're so smart. That's called the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you don't need to do that. That's not good. We need to get back to teaching what sin is. But we're going to have to do it at home. Listen, they ain't going to teach them at school. And where do they spend most of their time? School. We got to teach them at home. Not only that, we need to get back to teaching the virgin birth. Not a maiden. A virgin birth. Listen, there's a difference in a maiden and a virgin. A virgin has had no contact with man, doesn't have a husband, and she's pregnant. My dad told me the other day, he said, they have a woman and they're pushing it, big deal. She is a virgin and pregnant. Let me tell you something. It wasn't Mary who was hovered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit hovered over her. That's impregnated her with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. They can mock it all they want. But the Word of God says it was a virgin. Only one way of salvation. Jesus Christ. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you don't like that way, well, you can do it a different way. No, that ain't what he said. He said, I am the way. There is no other way, not by works, not by money. It ain't. Listen, you might have ended up in purgatory, so-and-so's granddaughter, but I got news for you. Grandma can't get you out of hell because there ain't a purgatory. If you didn't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where you went. I don't care who you are. We need to teach that. We need to teach hell. You know most people, oh, we don't want to tell them about hell because hell might scare them. But bless God, they got Halloween. Good grief. I've had people tell me, well, preacher, you ought not to preach so hard on hell. But then they'll go dress up like some nasty, stinking, disgusting demon and they paint their house all up. Oh. But, oh, hell in church scares them. Hogwash. We need to teach our children what hell is. It's real. Amen. Need to teach them about baptism. Baptism don't get you to heaven. But when you get saved, a person ought to want to get baptized. You ought to want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Be obedient, and you get baptized. We got people that get saved. Well, I don't know how much to think on that. Well, I'm starting to think maybe you need to get saved. If you've got to think on following the Lord in baptism, maybe you need to look, go back and see it. You know, did you really get saved? Something's missing. If you don't want to follow the Lord and just getting dipped in the water, something's wrong. We got to get back to that. All right, I'm going to hush. I'm getting all wound up for nothing. No. Really and truly, though, in closing, I'll tell you something. I know it's hard times of life. You know, really. And we may see some harder times in life. There may be some times coming that we never thought we'd see in our day. And I'm not going to say it won't happen, because there's things happening now that I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. I thought, you know, maybe one of my grandkids' lifetime. But in my lifetime, I never thought I'd see the day that them nuts up there in D.C. that wear the black robes that think they're little gods or something would stand up and say, hey, it's okay for same-sex marriage. Are them same nuts going to stand up? It's okay that Betty Lou marries Rover or German Shepherd. They going to say that's okay too? Because that's where it's going. They're going to have to do it. Eventually, they're going to have to say it's okay. Which that means, guess what? They all share the same thing that a married couple shares. And we don't have to go there, because you already know. It's disgusting. It's sick. But that's where... Are they going to stand up and say that? Oh, I bet they're going to keep their mouth shut on that one. But I don't know who they think they are, but they're kneel by one day. Listen, in hard times of life, we need to seek discernment. We really do. To really know what God wants from us, whether to be a confronter like Abraham, or to be a peacemaker like Isaac. See, God can bless both approaches, by the way. Romans 12:18, Paul wrote, he said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. But sometimes it ain't possible. We've seen that over times of history. It wasn't possible, and we had to do something about it. See, churches and families are looking for something new. They're searching for something new. They come up with all this mess. They come up with all this entertainment. Let's invite in a football player. That'll help us. And he can stand up and tell us how great it is. And oh, I'm a Christian. And that's going to help. Or we can get some motivational speakers to write some books. Makes us feel better. Look, read the Bible. If you want to read another book, that's okay. But read this one first. And then worry about the other ones. By the way, all they're doing is filling their pocketbook up. It ain't to help you. You know, really all we need to do is dig again the old wells of spiritual life that God's people depended on all the way from the beginning. That's what we need to do. The Word of God, prayer, worship, faith, faithfulness to the church, the power of the Holy Spirit, sacrifice, service. Listen, these wells that we've allowed the enemies of God to fill in, we need to get the dirt out of it and start reaching back down in there and bringing out the water again. We want to see a big change in our country. That's what we're going to have to do. But I'm going to tell you something. It all starts. Every bit of it starts. You're a good person to use. It all starts about right there. It's called the heart. That's where it starts. Not up here. It'll help you in the mind. Listen, you can have all the worldly knowledge you want. But it all starts right there in the heart. Thank you, Brian. That's where it starts. personally with you. Then it goes into the home, and then guess what? If we can get it in our heart, we get it in the homes, you'll see changes in the church, and you'll see changes in the country. But we got to start right here. Let's all stand. We're going to have a song of invitation.
Sister Judy, if you'll come forward, please.